Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We've been living on planes, of course, and crisscrossing not only the United States, but a few oceans in between, whether it was in the Gulf of Mexico or the Pacific Ocean. So last week, we were in the Gulf of Mexico, actually, and Gulf Shores, Alabama, looking at what was going on, good, bad, and ugly with the oil spill, what can be done, how you can get involved. We'll talk a little bit about that. Then jumped on a plane back to New York and then all the way over to where we are now, 19 degrees, 39 minutes north, 155 degrees, 59 minutes west. We are coming to you from the Big Island of Kona, actually the Big Island of Hawaii, the Kona Village Resort in Kona, Hawaii, on the Kohala Coast, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can always email me at peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. A little bit of housekeeping about the Gulf. It's really important that we stay on top of this news and not only just vote with our wallets, but how about this? Vote with our minds, our brains. A couple of websites you should know about. GulfCoastTravelUpdate.com is one. Another one that you should check out, the Florida Keys. They've got 40 different webcams out there to let you know what the conditions are. There's a Florida Media Command Center that's open. All of this is going to be on our website, petergreenberg.com. And, of course, every state that's involved with it, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, their own state websites are doing a very, very good and honorable job in reporting what's really going on, even if it's not particularly positive to their ideas about promoting tourism. They want you to know. They want you to know what's good. They want you to know what you should avoid. But most importantly, I want you to know that, yes, it's a buyer's market. Yes, reservations are down between 40 and 55%. Let's go back and do a little history. During the SARS epidemic, which there was none, where did I go? Hong Kong. Hotel occupancy at the Mandarin where I was staying, 3%. During the swine flu panic, of which there was a lot, but no reality, we did our show from the Riviera Maya in Mexico. Hotel occupancy and the few hotels that were open, everything else was closed, 11%. Guess what? I had a great time. And now we did the show from Gulf Shores last week just to let you know that there are all sorts of opportunities for you to go down there and have a great summer vacation. And if you want, and by the way, you should, help out. So go to our website, peter@petergreenberg.com is our email address, but our website, of course, is petergreenberg.com for a comprehensive list of all the aid organizations and relief organizations working, not just there, but of course, the huge rebuilding effort down in Haiti, which will take at least 10 years, just because it's not on the front page of everybody else. It's still on our radar. Western China and, of course, Chile, and most recently, down in the Gulf states of Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. So check that out because you really should. A couple of other housekeeping notes. You know, one of the things that is getting lost in all of the other news reporting, and it's still before Congress, is something called NextGen. You've probably not heard about it because they've been talking about NextGen since the last gen. They don't get done anything fast over there when it comes to this. It's about putting state-of-the-art equipment in air traffic control towers, streamlining the air traffic control system. And you know what? Yes, it needs to be modernized. Yes, we're dealing with a real crisis of employment. Staffing levels at FAA control towers and the major air traffic control corridors is down 16%. This is not a good sign on one of the most high-stress jobs in the world. But all the modernization in the world will not take the place of two things: common sense when it comes to what's important, and the airlines continuing in an almost delusional way to overschedule their planes. You know, if you go to any airport in this country, and you go to the regional authorities of those airports, whether it's the Port Authority in New York, or you go to the guys who run O'Hare or Midway, or you go to the guys running Jackson, Wyoming, it doesn't matter, and say to them, in a perfect world, on clear visibility days, when there is no weather, no mechanicals, nothing of any kind of encumbrance or impairment, what is the most number of planes you can handle for takeoffs in any 1 hour? And you're about to get more or less the same answer. It's about 22. because you have to about 3 minutes of separation between takeoffs. Do the math. You know, I failed math in high school, but I can do some basic arithmetic. It's about 22. So can someone please explain to me? I mean, our phone lines are going to be open in perpetuity for somebody to call up and give me this answer. Can somebody explain to me why the airlines are allowed to schedule 34 planes at 8 o'clock in the morning when the runway in the best of conditions can only handle 22 takeoffs? Why? This is not deregulation. This is delusional. It's deranged. And it's wasteful. And it's, look, I would much rather take a 9 p.m. flight that leaves on time than a 5 p.m. flight that leaves at 9 p.m. The amount of fuel burn, the amount of stress, anxiety, delay, lost, let's not forget lost productivity. I mean, who are we kidding? They are overscheduling the airplanes. They're, not everybody wants to leave at 8 o'clock. I'm a big believer in late night flights. I can't still believe for me that there's not a late night flight going from New York to Los Angeles for people who don't want to spend another night in a hotel room and still want to beat traffic when they land in L.A. There should be a midnight departure from JFK to L.A. for those business travelers who want to do business in New York, either see a play, have a movie, have a business dinner, then go out to the airport with no traffic, get on a midnight flight, sleep, land at LAX at 2:30 in the morning Pacific time, and beat all the traffic. It makes so much sense. I would like to start an airline that just specialized in flights that left on time at a time when it actually made sense for the people who needed to fly it. What a concept. So that's the first item up for bids here on The Price is Right. The second item up for bids is when you land and there's no gate available, who says you need a jetway? I don't need a jetway. I just need portable stairs. I can walk. Thank you. How much fuel burn is wasted? How many misconnected passengers are affected and essentially disenfranchised because airlines are obsessed, addicted to jetways? You don't need a jetway. There are penalty boxes behind jetways on every other jetway gate in most American airports. You see the planes parked out there doing nothing. All you have to do is wheel up some portable stairs. What a concept. Am I nuts? No, I'm making sense. But by making sense, I'm doing something the airlines haven't done since 1947. How about intelligence? Oh, they're very good at creating ancillary revenue opportunities for everything short of breathing. I'm still waiting for an airline to charge a fee for landing. Look, guys, you want to save some money. You want to save some fuel. You want to be economically and environmentally responsible. You want to be efficient. Why don't you just listen to your passengers? We'll tell you. I'm not alone in this. There are a lot of other people who would agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, you can also call me. 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And I won't keep you delayed on the phone. I'll take that call because this is something we need to debate. It's not about just throwing money at something. It's throwing brains at it. And when you throw brains at something, guess what happens? Things start to work. Somebody who's coming up right after our break who knows about when things work and especially when they don't. Our good pal from the New York Times, you read him every Tuesday in the New York Times, Joe Sharkey, talking about, well, re-regulating the airline industry. What a concept. You think that's possible in this day and age? And what happens when something goes wrong in the cockpit? A wild thing happened on a flight last week. We're going to tell you about it. When the flight attendant helped land the plane. How about that? Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide with Joe Sharkey of the New York Times from the Kona Village Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. Visit great destinations around the corner or across the country. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, memorable vacations have never been more affordable. To get started, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We actually happen to be at the Kona Village Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. 82 acres, and this place really hasn't changed since it opened in 1965. And you know what? That's a good thing. Although they love to be able to say it's unplugged barefoot luxury. Can I do that again? I'll do it again. Unplugged barefoot luxury. You know what that means? No phones, no TVs. Live with it, buddy. And you know what? After about 2 days, you kind of get used to it. It's not bad. It's how does it feel to be unreachable? I don't want to know. But you know what? After 2 days here, it's not such a bad idea. As promised, joining me now, our good pal. You see him in the New York Times every Tuesday. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. And now we're going to talk about the possibility, at least it's coming out of the woodwork now, because of the possible merger between United Airlines and Continental. A number of congressmen led by James Oberstar from Minnesota rattling the cage, saying maybe we should re-regulate the airlines. Our good pal, who has a few things to say about this, Joe Sharkey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
So,
let's re-regulate and get this mess under control. That sounds pretty good until you realize that when federal regulation of the airline industry ended in 1978, that's what opened up the massive competition in air travel that we've had now two generations worth of experience with, and it's what lowered all the fares. So, okay, it's an unholy free-for-all. It's a mess, but, you know, if we talk about re-regulation, remember a lot of the airlines are not necessarily fully opposed to this kind of federal regulation, because back in the sort of in the bad old days, from the consumer point of view, the airlines all had guaranteed profits. They didn't have competition. Their routes were set for them. They could make money with planes flying half full. So, you know, from their point of view, a certain amount of re-regulation might be welcome.
You know, that if they want to be protected that way. But I'm one of those guys who believes that when you had deregulation, and as you said, Joe, it allowed for a lot more competition and lower fares. It also allowed for a lot of airline management without the protection of the federal government to show you how really bad they could be.
Yeah, well, they sort of set that into motion, and they're still bad.
Yeah,
but
they
now they're unregulated. You're right.
Hey, fly us. We're unregulated and we're bad. There we go.
Right.
Well, you know what? For the airlines, though, that have managed the almost impossible of losing $50 billion in the last 10 years, this is the big catch-up summer. I mean, they're starting to make money.
They're starting to make money. You're right. Oil prices are under control. Their costs are sort of under control. Demand is coming back. They're flying, of course, as we all know, the planes are all at least 80 and often 85% full, which means that every flight, every popular route, the planes are all full. So maybe that's the new normal, as the cliche goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. When you take a look at those numbers, and I started to see the early quarterly projections of the airlines, we're seeing numbers that are as high as up 26%, up 31%. I mean, and their yields are going through the roof. I mean,
yeah.
Airfares, if you take a look at an average, and let's face it, last year was pretty bad, so ending this year is going to be higher.
Right.
But airfares this year to certain places in Europe, in some cases, are up 42% over last year.
They are, right. And, you know, it looks like some of the good times are coming back. The premium, the front of the plane is back in demand. You know, I was just recently speaking to Tim Clark at Emirates, and they're running 90% load factors in the front of the plane. The first class is sold out. You know, so it looks like the airlines hold your breath, might even make a buck or two this year.
Well, what that means is the chief financial officers of a lot of Fortune 500 companies are starting to release the purse strings.
They are. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't think we're ever going to go back to the kinds of fares in premium that we saw 3 years ago, but coach fares are coming up. Premium fares are still at a certain level that's not crazy. So, you know, it looks like for the airline industry, a pretty good summer ahead.
Oh, yeah, and coach fares, by the way, are way up. I remember last year at this time, I could get a round-trip fare between Los Angeles and New York for $218, $109 each way. Mm-hmm. It was started by Virgin, and the other airlines matched it. Today, it's about $566.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't seen an airfare sale, Peter, in it seems weeks and maybe months. You used to see the sales coming right and left, and that has really died down.
Well, listen,
so,
when you shrink the capacity,
definitely up. I'm in Tucson, and flying to New York, the same thing. It used to be I could do it for $300, and now it's $500 or $600.
Well, what roughly. You're seeing now is the intersection of decreased capacity with increased demand, and you know what that means for fares.
Yeah, and we're all being squeezed. There's nothing improving about the experience of air travel. You know, the fares are up, and it's less comfortable than ever on the airplane.
By the way, there are two good stories that came out, one of which you actually did, about somebody talking somebody down on a plane that was in trouble. It also happened on a United Airlines flight the other day going into San Francisco, where the co-pilot became violently ill and had to leave the cockpit. And it just so happens that a flight attendant, a female flight attendant, who's also a pilot, gave up the beverage cart and ran into the cockpit and basically helped land the plane. But you had a great story about a guy who, tell the story because it's pretty wild.
Which one?
Oh, about talking the plane down, about the private jet approaching the runway. Too high. This is actually.
Oh, that was a test flight I was on. I was actually in the cockpit with these. It's Honeywell. A couple of test pilots at Honeywell were testing out a new system that helps pilots know where they are located on a runway. You're a pilot, so I mean you're an aviation guy. I didn't really know this, that pilots have a lot of leeway on where they put that airplane down. And there's a great danger if there's a tremendous pressure for a soft landing, which the passengers always want.
Because they'll land long. They will land long.
Yeah, I didn't know this until I took this. I spent a fabulous day sort of, you know, buzzing around this airport with these two Honeywell test pilots a couple of weeks ago in Phoenix. So it was great. I mean, I learned a lot about how to land an airplane. So
you learned just about enough.
You
learned just about enough to make you dangerous now.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable. But, you know, it's interesting. When you take a look at how pilots line up for landings, the airports that have the longest approaches, like Phoenix, which are long, slow, and lazy, are more susceptible to accidents than airports like San Diego, which has the steepest descent in the United States, because the pilots are totally paying attention.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's very interesting. And, you know, and there is this, like the Air India Express crash apparently might have been caused by the pilots being under pressure to make sure they had a soft landing, and they didn't have enough runway to really do to do the landing right, and they just ran out of runway.
Well, then if they had
decided to do it hard, they would have probably survived.
Sure. Well, there was that famous landing at Burbank a couple of years ago with Southwest Airlines, where he came in too fast at too steep an angle, so by the time he hit the ground, he was going too fast to stop. He went across the road into a Texaco station.
Yeah. Oh.
And everybody survived, and Jay Leno had the great line. He said, wouldn't you know it, the plane crashed and went into a Texaco station, but all the luggage ended up at Shell. I had to say that. I'm
well,
sorry.
You know what pilots say? Every landing is a collision with a planet. So there are soft ones, there are hard ones, and then, you know, there's other kinds.
Exactly. So going back to deregulation, or re-regulation, do you really think Oberstar, the Congressman Oberstar, has a chance here? I mean, remember, he's the senator from Minnesota, and he couldn't actually stop the merger between Northwest, his hometown airline, and Delta. What makes him think he can stop the merger between Continental and UA?
I don't think he can. I think this is well in motion, and I may be wrong here, but I really don't see any substantive re-regulation in the books in the future. It would just mean once consumers realize what it would mean for fares, there'd be a public outcry against it. As messy as it is, this system at least kind of works.
Well, you know, if the market speaks, I hope the market will speak on August 1st when Spirit Airlines says they're going to still charge $45 for a carry-on bag. I hope
we vote with
our wallets and not fly the airline on that day.
Hey, you know, everybody who flew Spirit, I hope people who flew Spirit who did not pay for their tickets with a credit card, who maybe used a debit card instead, learned that you need to buy a ticket with a credit card, because the credit card company is required to refund your money. A debit card is not.
A debit card is the equivalent of paying with cash, yes. Yep, that's right.
Yep.
You pay with a debit card, you go with God, and God is not happy with you.
No, and particularly Spirit is not somebody you want to go with under those kinds of circumstances, trying to get a refund when you couldn't even get through on the phone. People were spending 5 and 6 hours waiting.
Amazing. Joe Sharkey from the New York Times. Of course, you read him every Tuesday in the New York Times. Joe, thanks for joining us, and please stay away from the cockpits. I'm not still comfortable with you flying the plane yet, even though you landed one. All right, when we come back, your emails and your phone calls and more from the Kona Village Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Vacation, however,
Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Kona Village Resort in Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it here on the air. You know, last week we were coming to you from Gulf Shores in Alabama. About every third guest was named Bubba. And that's not surprising. But I had to come all the way to Hawaii to meet another Bubba. And we have a segment on the show always called Ask the Locals. And nobody knows that better than my next guest, Robert Bubba.
Thank you.
I know, I'm going to get there. Rutledge, how are you, man?
I'm good.
And I have to call you Bubba, don't I?
Yes. My mom only called me Robert when she's mad at me. That was a long time ago.
All right. Well, if I start calling you Robert on the show, you know you messed up.
I know.
Okay. Hey, you know, when people come to resorts, especially on the islands, you know, they're thinking, okay, surfing, and they'll go swimming and snorkeling. But we've evolved from that now, haven't we? There's so many other things you can do.
A lot of different activities.
And looking out this window today, numero uno has got to be paddleboarding.
Stand-up paddleboard is big,
real big. Even bigger than surfing.
Yeah, it's big. You can surf on a stand-up as well, so it's kind of evolved.
Well, the bottom line is if you can stand up, you can surf.
Basically, it's balance.
It's balance. So yeah. You learn your balance on the stand-up paddleboard, and then you graduate.
It helps. It helps a lot.
What's the biggest mistake people do when they want to come out here to do stand-up paddling?
Not doing it early enough in the morning. It's generally a lot easier when it's calm, especially if you're just learning.
Because when the wind picks up, you're in trouble.
It's a whole other variable. You know, you wind chop and stuff.
I know, because I watch people try to windsurf when the wind picks up. I know it's called windsurfing, but hello, they never get up.
Yeah, there's a time and place for it. You know, if you can pick it, if you know the knowledge about the wind and the waves, you just go at the right time.
I have to say, there's a shout out to my cousin who's Hawaiian, Pua, who is absolutely out of his mind. He's a kite surfer, and he lives in Honolulu, and he also lives in Molokai. And you know how he commutes?
Does he kite back and forth?
He kites across that channel.
That's
nuts. He's
That's
nuts.
That's awesome.
Hey, awesome. Come
That's
on.
Awesome.
Does the word nuts ring a bell?
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to make sure. I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy. But it's almost unbelievable, but I believe you.
But I'm telling you, he does it. He's invited me to go along, and obviously I had other things to do that day. All right, so we got the stand-up paddleboarding, and what else?
We got outrigger canoes. Canoe paddling is really big.
You know, when you talk about outrigger canoes, everybody goes back to the traditional scenes that they've seen in Hawaii, of all the movies, of the boats coming in with the outriggers paddling by, and all the team sports. And, you know, and look, my aunt was one of the senior paddlers in the Alawai Canal in Honolulu, so I used to watch them all the time. But this is a little bit different because you can get in trouble in those things.
Yeah, we give good expert, you know, take them out and get them comfortable, give them the right techniques. Once we go on the six-mans, then they can graduate to taking the carbon fibers, which are the racing ones. We have singles and doubles, and that's really fun. It's a really good workout.
Well, those carbon ones, they're lightweight.
Super lightweight. You can pick them up with one hand.
I did it out there today on the beach. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, they're nice. They're very nice.
Although they're unforgiving.
Very unforgiving.
Come on, they're unforgiving.
Very unforgiving. That's why we give them an orientation. Show them how to ride
the boat. Famous orientation.
The safety.
This is what you should never do. Now, the thing that's really catching on, those propellers.
Yeah, the underwater scooters.
The scooters. Explain.
That's now, really fun.
I would love one of those.
You should try it while you're here.
I don't have the time. But,
oh,
you know,
no.
Yeah, I'm too busy watching my cousin go across the Molokai, you know, please. But the scooters are cool because you basically hold on, and it's really for lazy people, admit it. Come on.
Well,
come
actually,
on.
You know, it's fun because you take a breath, and normally when you're free diving, you only have so much time underwater. But with the scooter, it does all the work, so you're not spending energy, so your air lasts maybe three, four times longer.
Not spending energy translates to lazy divers.
All that, but you can stay underwater for a really long time, which is kind of unusual.
How deep can you take it?
It's 40, 50 feet.
That's all you need.
Exactly. That's where all the animals and the nice coral is. But it's an interesting thing because you're so used to being conditioned to go back to the surface at a certain time frame.
You have to reorient yourself.
But, yeah, exactly, because when you're down there, it's like, wow, I get plenty of air left. It's fun.
Now, how long does the power last on that thing?
An hour. The batteries are expensive, but they last an hour at full speed. So
usually if you go out for a half an hour, remember you only have a half an hour to get back.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Small minor detail there.
Minor detail.
How much do they weigh?
They're weighing about 40 pounds when they're loaded with the batteries.
That's heavy.
But we put a neoprene on top of them, which gives them a little buoyancy. So so that way you're not going to drop them and
lose. Is there an age restriction on who can rent one?
12 years old generally is our break on
12
age.
12 years old, they only weigh 40 pounds. What are you talking about?
Well, if you're strong enough, that 12 years old is kind of a break on a lot of our activities, just for physical parts.
You know? That's for the lawyers. Come on, it's for the lawyers.
It's different nowadays. Before it's like, if you want to go, but nowadays you have to have some.
You have to have the orientation.
Correct, safety orientation.
I know.
Thank you.
Given by Bubba.
Oh, all of us do it.
I know that. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the one sport here that people don't know enough about?
The one they don't know enough about.
That you'd like them to know more about.
Sailing.
Really?
Yeah, sailing. We get a lot of people that might have said they have a lot of experience, but in reality, they don't have as much as they say they do.
So basically, the word capsizing comes into play?
A lot.
I just thought I'd mention that. All right. But you know what? If you take a look at the little bay and the little lagoon you here have, mm-hmm. You're not going to get in too much trouble.
No, we're always watching. That's our job. We take care of our guests.
Okay. That's a big neon sign I see called Bubba is Watching. Is that the one?
That's it. He's coming
All right.
soon.
All right. I didn't once say, Robert, you're in trouble. It's Bubba Rutledge, man, from the Kona Village Resort. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, your emails and a lot of questions that need to be answered. Back with more from Kona Village on the Big Island of Hawaii right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here, coming to you from the Kona Village Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88 Peter. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem, and we'll be glad to answer it on the air. One housekeeping note again, please go to our website, which has the imaginative name of petergreenberg.com, to look for our comprehensive list of all aid and relief organizations doing all that essential and necessary work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course, in the Gulf, where they have the oil spill, stuff that you can get involved in. Not just texting money on your cell phone, which, of course, is always welcome. Remember, the Red Cross raised over $40 million that way in the Haiti relief effort. But it's also about getting physically, actively, and intelligently involved in location. What a great gift you can give yourself by participating in a volunteer vacation. And with all puns intended here, a friend of mine came up with a new term. It's not volunteerism right now in the Gulf. It's voluntarism. Laugh if you will, but it's nothing to laugh about. Get down there and do what you can to help. And if you've got kids, bring them. They need to see this up close and personal so they can learn not only the lessons that need to be learned, but apply them to their own lives and to their brothers and sisters' lives and to ours as well. Remember, the kids are leading the way in this, and you should be part of it. Let's go to some of the emails. We've got one from Jane. I have a question regarding mileage. Uh-oh, here we go. I am in need of 2 seats to Italy as my husband is sick and is a citizen of Italy where he has full health care, so that is why I'm trying to get him there. A friend of ours has the miles for American Airlines. He came back to me and said that there are no seats until December, so now we are trying United Airlines. Peter, would you have any interest or insight for me regarding getting seats for my husband and son? Also, I was wondering how standby works. Okay, well, this is a very interesting subject and one that's near and dear to me for the simple reason that the airlines are making it harder, if not impossible, to redeem your miles. And in your situation, saying that there are no seats to December begs another question. I'll make you a bet. If you wanted to go to Italy, either Rome or Milan, you probably were asking American Airlines for a direct nonstop flight. Not a direct flight, a nonstop flight from wherever you were that would go directly into Rome. And that's what you should avoid. Go to their partner airlines in the One World Alliance, whether it's British Airways, even Royal Jordanian. There are so many other airlines that are involved in it, Finnair, Iberia, and see if there are seats available that would go from the United States through Madrid to Rome, or from Amman to Rome, or Helsinki to Rome. Think outside the box. That's how you're going to get, you're going to get there. Because if you just want to go straight from the U.S. to Rome, give it up. They've blocked out those seats. They've zeroed out the availability. The inventory officially doesn't exist. even in the best of times, no airline ever wants to displace revenue passengers if they can sell that seat. And so my advice to you is think outside the box. If you wanted to get totally wild, I mean, don't laugh. I've known a people don't realize this. You know, you mentioned United Airlines. Well, who's a member of the United Airlines Star Alliance? Well, there's United Airlines, there's Air New Zealand, and a number of other partner carriers, including Singapore Airlines. Most people don't realize that Singapore Airlines flies from, and Lufthansa, by the way, but Singapore Airlines flies from New York to Frankfurt or New York to Amsterdam. Lufthansa can certainly get you to Rome via Frankfurt or Munich. And if you were totally off the wall on the American Airlines program, there's another way to do it. If you didn't mind wasting a lot of time to get there, but at least if the ticket's available, you should take it. Don't laugh. I know people have gotten to Rome by going from Los Angeles via Sydney on Qantas. It's good. Look, if the price is right, meaning free and you can redeem the miles, do it. So I would listen and go that way. Also, there's another way to do it. Don't think of Italy at all in terms of a nonstop flight on any airline. Get a nonstop flight to a destination that has a tremendous amount of capacity and frequency, like London or Paris. And then you're going to end up buying a low-fare ticket on one of those crazy carriers like Ryanair or EasyJet. So you're going to end up getting the free mileage ticket, let's say from the U.S. to London or the U.S. to Paris round trip. And then what you buy is a separate round-trip cheap ticket from those cities to Rome. Now, you know that most of these secondary airlines don't go to primary airports. They go to secondary airports in Italy, but you'll still get there. For example, if you took Ryanair from Stansted to Venice, well, you wouldn't land in Venice. You'd land in an old Italian Air Force base 40 miles outside of Venice, and you take a bus into Piazza Roma, and you're right there on the Vaporetto number one, and you are in Venice. So those are the creative ways you can try to get around all this. So I hope that's helpful to you, Jane. And please write me to peter@petergreenberg.com and let me know how you do, or give us a call, 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. I want a report from you, Jane, because if you earned all those miles, you should be able to use them, especially at a time of need. When we come back, more of your calls and more of your emails from Kona Village on the big island of Hawaii. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837. Or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the unplugged barefoot luxury resort called Kona Village. Oh, please. I actually happen to like it just because it is on the big island of Hawaii. Peter Greenberg here, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. And let's go right to the emails. We got one from Donald, who's looking for a reasonably priced and reasonably quiet vacation on the beach in Florida. Well, thanks to the oil spill and the geographic ignorance of most Americans, you can basically name your price on the beach of Florida in places where the oil is not even near it. They've had drop-offs and reservations in West Palm Beach and in Fort Lauderdale and the Florida Keys, and the oil's nowhere near there. You can check out a number of deals. VisitFlorida.com is posting a tremendous number of deals out there right now, Donald, in and around Fort Lauderdale. And many of them are offering free nights if you book two or more nights. Sometimes it's 50% off the room rate. And that's not the rack rate. It's 50% off what they would normally be charging at this time of year. TripAdvisor.com has some great resort rates starting at $74 a night. Not bad. And so check that out. And remember, you don't have to be on the beach, although these days, with the occupancy being what it is, they'll probably let you be the lifeguard. So check it out. Visit Florida.com, and, of course, go to TripAdvisor.com. They've got some great ideas, too. Here's one from George. My wife and I are going on a cruise out of San Juan from December 5th to 12th. We want to travel to San Juan on December 3rd. Very smart, by the way. Don't go on the day the cruise is leaving. That's suicidal for all sorts of obvious reasons, but I'll share them with you, like what if your luggage doesn't make it or what if you don't make it. And then you want to return after 11 a.m. on December 12th. Delta is our main airline, and they're flying out of Helena, Montana. So their frequency is limited, I can tell you that. and we may have enough air miles to get free tickets. Well, here's the interesting thing. Believe it or not, between December 5th and December 12th, that's a dead week in this country. Nobody's traveling. They're traveling right before Thanksgiving, of course, on that Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving. But from the Monday after Thanksgiving until around the 17th of December, you can go bowling on just about any airline. So you might be in luck, George. I mean, you just might. And he says, how do we get the lowest fare, travel on the dates listed, and use your air miles? Well, I just told you. Call Delta now. Don't wait another minute. And find out if you can book your flight on the 3rd of December from Helena to San Juan. You'll be going through Atlanta, you know that, and coming back on the 12th. And you want to come back after 11 a.m. on the 12th, which is great, because everybody's going to be piling out of that ship at 7 o'clock in the morning, determined to get out of there. You can pile out of the ship around 8:30 or 9, spend a nice relaxing day in San Juan, and come back around 5 in the afternoon if you can connect back in time to go to Helena. Chances are there won't be that many frequencies, so you'll probably want to leave around noon or 1 o'clock at the latest, but you can do it. Do not wait another moment to cash in your miles, okay? Now, if you want to do a discounted ticket, if you want to actually pay for your ticket as opposed to going through mileage, then don't do it now. The computers are not set up to give you a discount this far out in advance. It's only June, okay? Wait until at least October 15th. Wait till about 50 days out and then strike, when they know on their computer systems at Delta that nobody's going to be on that flight going out of Montana and nobody's going to be taking that cruise as much as they would like to take that cruise during Christmas, which will probably be booked. So follow my advice on that and you'll be much better off, okay? Remember, if you're going to do it as a frequent flyer mileage redemption, listen to the show. The minute the show's off the air, you run. Do not stop. Do not pass go and try to redeem your miles. But if you want to purchase the ticket, you wait. Wait until around October 15th. By the way, if you go to our website, we're going to talk to you about the little-known world of luggage warranties and guarantees. Believe it or not, they exist. And some of them are pretty funny. Some of them have a lot of creative writing. And every once in a while, some of them, like Briggs & Riley, are actually worth their weight. So check out our website on that. And speaking of our last emailer, we're going to tell you next week where summer is really the off-season. And those answers might surprise you. First and foremost, in places like Brazil and Argentina, especially Argentina, which is the biggest bargain in the world against the U.S. dollar. Unreal. Do what I do every year. I will go down there in the next couple of weeks and do my Christmas shopping. I will be very happy I did. And to give you an idea of how strong the U.S. dollar is against the Argentinian peso, I took five people out to dinner. That's me plus five at the best restaurant in town. Now, you know I don't eat meat, but everybody else is eating meat. Every steak they could find, every appetizer, every after-dinner drink, every side dish, as much Malbec wine as they could possibly consume. I was picking up the tab. I was sliding under the table, expecting the worst. What do you think the tab was for a total of six people at the best restaurant in town with everything I just told you, including tip? Are you ready? $109. You can't wake up in Kona for $109. So check that out. Go where the off-season is. Remember, the off-season in my book is a total myth. It was started by escaped Garmentos in New York who were freezing their you-know-whats off and didn't want to go down somewhere in the summer. They wanted to leave New York in February. You know what? The thermometer is only 8 degrees warmer in the summer, and as long as you get your hurricane guarantees down, you're going to be in much better shape. So next week, we're going to tell you where summer is really the off-season and where you should go. And, of course, the brave new world of luggage guarantees, what you need to know before you ever buy that next bag. And of course, we want to thank everybody here in Kona, the Kona Village, for letting us come play on the Big Island of Hawaii. A beautiful, beautiful day here. I hope you had a wonderful weekend wherever you were, but at least you know where we were. And we will see you next week from another remote, well, secret location somewhere in the world. We got some thank yous today as well. We want to thank, of course, Jeff Ryder, working the boards in New York. Of course, Efren Meza, who got the short straw. I feel so sorry for this guy who's actually working the boards here. Shelly Goncharowski, our intrepid producer. Karen Jarrett, or Corinne Jarrett, who's such a... Did I get that one right? Oh, God. And, of course, all the people at the Kona Village Resort. We'll see you next week, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.